We have got some important stuff to get to, and I'm going to cut right to the chase. We do this deep dive once per week with the one, the only, Mel Kay.
Yay!
There she is.
Hi, guys. Oh. Well, always the best audience out there. So excited to be back, as usual.
And they're fired up,
and we're fired up. Look at me. I've got all of this paper. I am ready to go, to learn, to take my notes. That's something we always hear about at the Reawaken America events. People are always saying how much notes they take from you. They always sometimes have to back up. They're like, oh my gosh, there's so much information. They back up, you know, or obviously they're texting in the 40509 Mel to get the graphics. They're putting it all over social media, helping to wake up their friends. So it's really cool.
I think people need like a certificate after they've seen a certain number of episodes. They get like a little plaque or something they can hang up, like an honorary degree in Melology.
I'm telling you, I keep promising people that when we do one full year of our daily, of our weekly shows, we're going to put together a little book of Stacey's notes.
It is out of control. Let me do my housekeeping tips here real quick. If you guys want the screenshots, images from the show today, you can send a text to 40509. It's on the bottom of the screen. If you're on the radio or listening somewhere else on Apple or something like that, just remember 40509, the word Mel, and you get all those images. Those are, for one, a launching place for you to do more research, or like Stacey mentioned, to be able to share and just kind of like guerrilla warfare, little mental memes, you know, getting people to wake up out there. The other thing is we got a website called themelkshow.com.
So amazing.
TheMelKShow.com. Now, it's not The Mel Kansas Show. When you look at it, it looks like The Mel Kansas Show. For those of you in the Midwest, you probably love that. And don't let it go to your head. It's not about you. It's The Mel, the letter K, show.com. Nothing to do with the state of Kansas, but it is amazing because at the top of the screen, there's a thing called resources. You go to the resources and shave 12 years off of your learning curve. You can work 10, 12 hours a day for the next decade and try to do this on your own, or you can just go there. She puts all this information in a Vitamixer and then just spoon feeds it to you like a little baby. And so you can swallow it with no problems.
And don't forget her newsletter, because it is fabulous. We get her newsletter every single week and we read it. Incredible information. It's over on the right hand
side. How much do you pay for it?
Nothing. It's absolutely free.
Nothing.
But all of that great information all in one newsletter.
The best things in life are free, but you can save them for the birds and bees. But you need the MelKShow.com newsletter resources. Do yourself a favor. Grab a hold of that.
Well, thank you so much. Listen, things are looking very scary out there. I understand. There's a lot of fear tactics. You know, every day we're seeing this inversion of reality spewed all over the mainstream media and everywhere we go. I know you guys just did an event. I did an event in Palm Beach, Florida with a bunch of other patriots. We're going to Idaho this week. We're not giving up. We're going to Florida and then we're going to Pennsylvania, and you guys are going in between other places and we're going in between. And guess what? What I notice is more and more patriots are showing up. And the great news is they are not just Republican or right wing or conservative or MAGA Republicans, which is 80 million people. They also happen to be a lot of independents. And honestly, in this last one in Florida, there were a lot of Democrats. So as we've always said, our movement is about truth and transparency and protecting the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and our future and our children's future and our borders, language, and culture from a globalist regime that parades around as progressive Democrats. That is not what they are. And it's not just Democrats. It's a uniparty. And I think it's becoming more and more obvious every single day to everyone in America that we are under attack from within. And it's hard really to imagine the level to which the DOJ and FBI are taking this. But what I am told, and for the audience to know, is that there actually are a lot of good guys in the FBI and DOJ and in the military that are not playing along. And because of the control of the media, as we know, and the control and the level of which this current O'Biden regime has manipulated everything. For them, it is to lose is to finally for them to see some justice that is long overdue for many of them. I think most people recognize that John Podesta walked back into the White House this week. Everyone should really be looking at that. Not only was he ran the DNC Hillary Clinton campaign and the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax. And there's a lot of shady stuff with the Seth Rich situation with him. He also was involved in the Transition Integrity Project, which was the year and a half prior to the 2020 election, where they before COVID and mail-in ballots and all of that, where they simulated all the ways that Trump could win. It was him, Norm Eisen, Dunn, a bunch of other people, mm-hmm. usual suspects, but Podesta was the lead. And they simulated every way Trump could and would win and came up with plans, contingency plans on the other side, how to stop him on every way that you can think of, many having to do with everything that did go down. And oddly enough, a lot of it did coincide with COVID. So I don't know what to make of that, but I'm digging into that as well. What you also need to know is our show last week and many of our shows is that John Podesta is a giant CCP ally yeah. and a big CCP fan. And he was obviously the Secretary of State under the Clintons, under Bill Clinton. And then he was the senior advisor to Obama. So what we just had was in our face, they bring back in Podesta and him and his brother, giant lobbyists.
Which they're also art collectors. You know, go their art collection alone mm-hmm. and just, you know, see what you think of it sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's plenty of rabbit holes about the Podestas. But the one thing the Podestas know how to do is to manipulate the minds of the masses. And I will tell you that he is running he's the lead in the Build Back Better bill, which they've fraudulently named the Inflation Reduction Act. And this is also 3 months before the election. So if you haven't gotten involved as a poll watcher, as a precinct captain, please, please get involved. There's positions all over the country. They actually are paid. Not that maybe people care or not, but you know what? If you're need a few extra bucks, just go work at the polls. And I know that America Project is doing a push for one last mission where they're recruiting vets, retired cops, retired fire people, retired frontline workers to go work the polls as one last mission, meaning like, you know, we're at a place where we know that Soros has hired a lot of people to go work at the polls as well on the other side. Zuckerberg, $80 million into the 2022 election. Somehow everything that happened last time with those $400 million was not enough for it to be banned for him and Soros to put in all this dark money again in 2022. But they are. I still believe that we will overwhelm them. And the real goal is to get as many people out in person on the day so that when they do try to cheat and pull the same stuff, that it shows that county had 120% voting. So it would be very hard for them to actually get away with it. I firmly believe that in Kerry Lake's race that just happened, from everything I'm looking at, they did try. And too many people showed up in person that day. Wow. So we really have to keep that in mind, because I met a lot of people this past weekend in an election integrity event. Democrats too, and Republicans, but a lot of people that lost the primaries and have so much evidence that not a lot has changed. Also, please get in touch, and everyone does matter. Every phone call, every email, the voter rolls have to be changed. They cannot be dead people or people that don't live in the state. And the truth is, the Secretary of States that are financed by George Soros's Secretary of State group that he runs are stopping that. Judges are stopping it. I don't understand any reason that anyone on the left or the right or the center or any American citizen, period, would not want clean voter rolls regardless. And remember, every fraudulent vote, we'll get into something today, takes away a legitimate vote. Yep. Every fraudulent vote means your vote didn't count because you could be one of those ones knocked out. So it's really important to keep that in mind. What I am going to talk about today is that the Biden administration slips in a lot of stuff that the mainstream media purposefully doesn't cover. And I think it's important for people to realize that the government, yet again, we now are at $58 billion going to Ukraine. And we've done plenty on Ukraine on this show. I think a lot of people learned and really became skeptical, as they should be. But mind you, the biggest money-making and profiting for America right now, because you know, the Kissinger, Bush, Podesta was a part of it, Clinton, everyone sent all of our manufacturing overseas, mainly to CCP China. But our biggest manufacturing, really, and what keeps us going financially, is the military industrial complex. Zelensky will be speaking and honored by the military industrial complex, I believe, this week, by the Defense Contractors Association. So keep that in mind as you continue to watch this. But so just
in between his photo shoots with Vogue magazine and the other stuff that your typical, you know, you look at all these countries that are torn apart by civil war, African countries, different ones that these things are going on. You know, Colombia just fell recently as well, you know, because of the same kind of issues we're facing. But, you know, you look at them, most people, when they're under attack like that in a war-torn country, do not have time for photo shoots with Vogue magazine or to go to speak, you know, for the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
Or every award show Hollywood has had to offer.
Yeah. And the Oscars.
This is not what it seems, folks. This is not. And, you know, there's a lot of talk today that Russia's retreating. No, the mainstream media and the NATO, one world government, O'Biden alliance of the Five Eye Nations, they are lying to you. And the truth of the matter is that the saddest part here is that the Russian and Ukrainian people are not even involved in their thinking, especially the Ukrainian people. They really should be pushing for peace, but everyone's got to question why they're not, which is a lot to do with Build Back Better. And we did a whole show on Zelensky going to the World Economic Forum way before. So moving on from that, Joe Biden, our government is about to run out of money for we the people. And we're at another precipice of a shutdown of the U.S. government as Blinken just gave $2 billion more to Ukraine a few days ago. So or wherever that's going, because it's not going there. But so I wanted you guys to know that they are putting through the O'Biden regime a continuing resolution to keep the government open. A continuing resolution would extend the current government funding levels through December 16th, 2022 for the fiscal year that expires September 30th, 2022. Now, what a lot of people don't know about September 30th, 2022 is that there is a debt payment involved for the U.S. government, the Corporation of the United States. And the Corporation of the United States is needs extra funding to even get past that for some reason, yet we are sending money everywhere. So they want to advance a continuing resolution, a temporary extending of funding for the government. The proposal was put through on September 12th. That's just a few days ago. And a lot of people are saying it must pass or our government will be shut down. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I would like to see the expansion of the government and everything that they're doing shut down. I think that we're in a lot of trouble. And if the Republicans are going to back this again, please be aware of who you're voting for, right or left. There is no right and left right now. There's no Republican or Democrat. I can't say it enough. We have a uniparty protecting the status quo. That status quo is completely bought, paid for, and compromised by the globalist agenda. So keep in mind, watch everyone that's voting for this. But so they put it out, the Biden regime, a memorandum, meeting critical needs for the American people in the new fiscal year. And then they pop in this continuing resolution. But I want you guys to know what's in the continuing resolution, because it's very disturbing. I also wanted to mention that yesterday it came out, it came out new numbers for homeless in America. Apparently at this point, there's almost 500,000 homeless people in the United States.
Wow.
And that is American citizens, basically, in these numbers. It went through every city in the country. Most top five are in California, New York City, Oregon, Portland, Seattle, you know, Chicago, everywhere that we know at the top. But that is a tremendous amount of homeless people in this country when they need money. So anyway, this resolution is asking for $5 billion extra from the taxpayers to the government.
Man, but, Mel, I just want to say that 500,000, imagine there's 32 teams in the NFL, so you're like 15. That's basically pretty close because not all of them are full. Like every NFL stadium in America, you know, that kind of a number on any given Sunday, you know, it's definitely 10, 11, 12 NFL stadiums full of people that are homeless.
That would be homeless.
I mean, that, you know, and some of those are, again, there's drugs, there's mental illness, there's a lot of things involved. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. That
have fallen and can't get a foothold, you know, and it's just a tough spot.
In those numbers, they're including people that are living in also shelters, which are not, you have to understand, I have homeless friends in New York City that wouldn't go to a shelter if you gave them money to go live there. Mm-hmm. There is no way. And I don't know if you know that San Francisco is now building a megaplex for the homeless. They're giving out tents, you know, all over the country as a solution. There's no solution. Solution is long-term stability, rehabilitation, jobs, you know, education, all that stuff. That's not getting that. And you have to also understand there are a lot of children that are homeless. Mm-hmm. In America, American citizens. And this is where this gets really horrible, because in this continuing resolution that O'Biden put out, they're asking for $5 billion. But what they're really asking for in this document is a whole bunch of Democratic priorities. So they're asking for, on top of $11 billion for Ukraine, separate, they want more funds for the migration network that they're running. So they have in this money for economic migrants to be bused and flown around the country into different areas where it will benefit, obviously, not just the upcoming election, they believe, but also it will benefit the cartels. Mm-hmm. The cartels are apparently making $13 billion a month. That's what they're saying, or... you know, that's what they've made since Obama came into office.
Yeah.
So this document, short-term continuing resolution, anyone can look it up. It says that that the document asks for extra funding for the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Fund and Emergency Assistance Act, the Emergency Food and Shelter Grant Program, the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008. Mm-hmm. What you should know about the Protection Reauthorization Act for victims of trafficking is that they're asking for $1.8 billion to fund this program, which has young migrants that come from the cartel, basically coyotes, through the border as unaccompanied minors, that the agency will open migration network and deliver the migrants to free... to other illegals in America, illegal migrant parents, sponsors, employers. So they want $1.8 billion to the Department of Health and Human Services for Office of Refugee Resettlement, Refugee and Entrant Assistant Account for Unaccompanied Children, Transitional and Medical Services for Migrants, Refugee Support Services, ORR, and they will need sufficient resources to care for or place additional unaccompanied children in shelters. Also add provide medical assistance, cash assistance, support services for humanitarian aid. And then it goes on to that this request would provide $2.9 billion to Disaster Relief Fund in the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA to address other anticipated disasters. Now, that sounds like one thing, but what it also has is that it's delivered roughly all of this money is going towards illegal immigrants. No one that's coming through this is all getting transferred from federal programming meant for the citizens of the United States. Instead of funding those programs, this is being transferred to help people coming through the border, the inflow through the border. They're transferring money from different programs, including ICE and Border Patrol, to fund buses and nonprofit shelters and nonprofit networks throughout the country to help with this. They're redirecting $850 million that Congress originally allocated to rebuild the nation's strategic national stockpile, the emergency medical reserve strain that was strained by COVID-19. They want another $850 million taken from a allocation intended for coronavirus to go towards helping the illegal and refugee migrants coming across the border. So essentially, they're saying that all these programs that we have in place for American citizens or for border security are going to be changed and be put towards the costs of having so many migrants come through the border. And at this point, we should probably know that that the amount of migrants coming through the border right now has been over 5 million. And what is really coming out of this, all of this discussion of this new money that they want, is that other side of this is that the economic shock that this is causing to the American populace, the American citizenry, is not really being discussed. And the inflow of illegals is not really being monitored, because what it has also come out is that Border Patrol whistleblowers, because they can't really speak, say that barely anyone coming through the border are coming from Mexico. They're saying that most people coming through the border are coming from 115 countries other than Mexico.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so we're at a place where they're saying that not just the Middle East and other places, but basically all over the world are coming through, they're being let through, and they're being given services. And on top of that, what we have also learned on top of that is that we know that we've done shows on child trafficking and human trafficking across that border. Another leak from Homeland Security is that they're bracing for another 161,000 unaccompanied children to come across the border in the next several months. So all of this money and stuff is putting there to enhance the likelihood that people will risk coming on this journey, where many people, it's not humanitarian. Lots of people die on that journey. There's lots of trafficking and rape. And we have had enough fentanyl to come across the border to kill millions of people through this. But what we do need to know is that these funds are being redirected from every agency that is supposed to be helping the American people into this, I don't know at this point what to call it. They are calling it an invasion in Arizona and Texas, but Texas and Arizona are not the only ones affected. As you know, we live in New York City, and we live right near the Catholic Church Archdiocese building. And every day they have people waiting in line, and they are being handed, I know this from watching it and going up and talking to people, they are being handed shelter keys for to go live either in hotels or in other, I don't know where they're getting these apartments, but they're also getting food cards, $500 SNAP benefits. They're getting free Medicaid, clothing and shelter. And if they have children, which most of them don't, because a lot of ones I'm seeing in New York, at least, are, teenage or young, 20 something men alone. But when there are children, we are seeing that they are getting information to enroll in New York City public schools.
Mm. Hey, Mel, I want to go back to a slide, just two back, not the most recent one. There's a Fox News article. This wasn't from some speculative blog of some person. It says Biden slammed for immoral open border policy after a human trafficker describes what happens to children. This is for you that are listening on the radio, or you're on Apple or one of those places. Cartels harvest children's organs. I'm reading this. This isn't my opinion. If you're just listening, cartels harvest children's organs, then fill the corpse with drugs for trafficking, according to one smuggler.
So sick.
This is a verifiable news story. Again, you text 40509, the word Mel, you'll have access to this article, and then, continue to do your own research going past this. This is as recent as August of 2022. You know, we lived for a number of years in Mexico, specifically doing orphan care. We lived in a orphanage, while we were there as a family. We've been back there twice in the last month. This is common knowledge among people that live there of the trafficking that takes place, what the coyotes do, the cartels run this. They know that that's how that works. Now they have a government now that doesn't get in the way of the cartel running it. So there's less
violence
like they did when we lived there. We were there in 2010, 11 to 12. There was more violent crime and murder than Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Yemen, and Kuwait all combined. And so because there was the cartel war, now there's a stand down. The cartel runs this. And I'm not saying our current administration is in partnership with them, but you couldn't create a more cartel friendly environment if that was the objective.
That's right.
And they come from all around the world. These are not even primarily Mexicans that are coming through there, but their countries are being hurt in that process mm-hmm. as well. And there's a toll that is paid when you come over, and it's billions. This is like a corporation, like a Microsoft or an Apple. Mm-hmm. It's that big. And that's what's happening to people. So anybody that says like, well, I have a compassionate heart and I want these people to be able to come, it's the most cruel thing that you could ever say, that you want an open border for humanitarian purposes, period. It is a brutally cruel thing to say, because these people are victimized in ways you could never even describe on a show mm-hmm. like this.
Yeah. And when it comes to children, because we are talking about 145,000 prior to this, now they're estimating another 100 and, you know, ridiculous 161, numbers.
161, you said 161,000.
Children with no parents.
No parents. Right. And they say, you know, they say that these children have parents that are giving them up. That is not the truth. In very few cases, if they are given up, they are actually sold, or the parents mm-hmm. pay these people to take the kids, which very few people believe that that is really the truth. But I will say that the Biden regime has looked into upping this, as I talked about, this Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. And this is saying that children should not be turned away from the border on the basis that they may be victims of trafficking, which sounds like, you know, oh, that sounds reasonable. But that is not what's going on. But that doesn't include, like Donald Trump, under Trump, they were lying about what was going on. They were actually taking their DNA to make sure that they were with their families. They were actually putting the kids into care. I know that, and trying to get them help, the ones that were the most damaged when they came across. But this says that children arriving at the border that have been transported by human smugglers and the transnational criminal organizations known as cartel, once they cross the border to Border Patrol, children are turned over to HHS to be placed with an adult sponsor, as we know right now, for $500 and, you know, some barely background checks. You can become a sponsor or a family member or a family friend. As we've discussed before, multiple people, including flight attendants and people on the ground and people that have been going down there and trying to help, they say that these kids, some of them come across, they have wristbands on. A lot of them have a phone number in their hand, and they know that they don't know who the person is on that piece of paper, yet the Biden regime is processing them as fast as possible and handing them out. Of the unaccompanied minors coming across, there was initial uptick, but now the high number of referrals have increased throughout the last few months. And they're even at this point, they're saying this is the most devastating thing, that let's get the number right, that we are talking about. So 60,000, the Biden administration admits, unaccompanied minors who came across the border cannot be accounted for.
60,000?
Yeah. So where are those children?
You know, they're somewhere.
So this is what they're doing. And this continuing resolution that I'm talking about, it's really scary, because it says here, and this is not a right wing paper I'm getting this from. It says that concerns mount that the government has lost contact with 1/3 of the unaccompanied minors that have come across the border between January and May. And right now we're in September. So this is a very, very devastating. Mm-hmm. And we are at a place. So DHS now, as a response to this, what do you think their solution is? They want another $2 billion.
Well, government as a whole only has one answer for every problem. Give me more money and I'll fix it.
Yep.
You elect me and give me more money, I'll solve this problem.
Yeah, exactly.
That's their only answer to everything. And all that does is make things worse.
Yeah. And we have to also understand, so this is not humane. Like you said, you explained that it's not humane, but there is a reason that this is happening too, because I think a lot of people aren't aware that the unaccompanied minor situation is a giant business, not just in terms of the children, but in terms of the housing and everything else. But, underneath Obama, they actually started to make it a business. There are a lot of charities and NGOs out there that are facilitators for these children when they come across. And when they do come across, those people have contracts. So a lot of this money is going to contracts for people that are running shelters and running groups without much oversight that that are then place the children. So they're even taken out of the entire, you know, what Trump was trying to set up. They're taken out of the HHS refugee resettlement and all of that. They're being put with NGOs. And then from that point on, it appears that the Biden administration throws up its hands and says, you know, good luck. So there was something put in that I'm talking about, this Child Smuggling Act. It was intended to prevent human trafficking. Instead, it encourages, by allowing unaccompanied children to arrive at the border from countries other than Mexico or Canada to stay in the United States indefinitely. Children from Mexico who do not fear returning to Mexico can be or sometimes are sent back, but very rarely. But this law was passed on, under Obama in 2008, created an incentive for families around the globe, particularly in Central America, where the UACs, unaccompanied minors, are born. In 2008, once a child reaches the border, the U.S. government will essentially complete the trafficker's job, taking the child into the interior of the United States, putting him with sponsors or family members, or at least people who claim to be family members. After Obama passed this in 2008, the result was unaccompanied minor border crossings skyrocketed 60% between. But since he put that in 2008. So Trump tried to undo it. Trump added unaccompanied children to the list of people that could be deported back home if, you know, from what they were doing was they were trying to actually locate where these children came from and help them get back to their parents, the ones that were smuggled and taken by coyotes or trafficked. But as soon as President Biden came in, he eliminated Trump's policy of finding the family and returning the children home. So that there's no effort being done.
Why?
Yeah.
There would only be one reason, nefarious.
You can't even hardly imagine another motivation.
No. Why else would he do that?
No. And basically, so between the Obama years, what they did two different things. First, they enabled NGOs and charities to take over when children come into the country. And this isn't just children. It's also young women and men and whoever comes through, but children especially. So there's a whole bunch of NGOs and pseudo-religious organizations that got contracts from the government to take over once they come through the border. And then the other thing is that there's incentive when the children come across, because every child that comes across then becomes, you know, basically a business, it appears, to these people, because they have to keep the contracting money come in. They have to keep the children coming in. So once a non-profit or an NGO or a non-profit has a quota of how many children they need to place, they have an incentive to have that keep going. Now, Mayorkas, who should have been impeached already, if we had Republicans, at least somebody should have submitted something. Hopefully it will be. But so on top of this, we all know about DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which is also under Obama, which has caused a lot of chaos. But he has revised the Special Immigrant Juvenile Program. Nobody really even paid attention to it. So DACA was a problem. Trump wanted to undo it. There was all kinds of fights about it. So now Mayorkas has taken it upon himself. The new regulation and policy disregards congressional intent and allows hundreds of thousands of illegals to immediately obtain work permits that will aid unaccompanied alien children that have come across the border into the future. So at this point, he created a situation where not only are they coming across the border with some traffic, some not, but now when they come across the border, they're pushed ahead to get jobs. So where we are now is that the Biden regime, they finalized the SIJ rule. It encourages, obviously, immigration fraud and people coming across. But it also, the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, it says, may consent to grant a SIJ, which is one of these children that comes across, rule that will encourage classification when the petitioner has provided evidence of court-ordered relief from parental abuse, neglect, abandonment, or similar basis under state law, as well as evidence of factual basis for the juvenile court's determination, then these people are then put into a system where they get the same wraparound services as anyone that came here, as anyone in America on welfare. Mm-hmm. So then everything's paid for on that side, and it keeps getting even crazier. On top of that, there was a law passed in 1987. Reagan passed the 83 Temporary Emergency Food Assistance Act. And then that was ongoing. And then the head of FEMA established a national board, at this time 50 million. Imagine how much times have changed. Local board to provide voluntary organizations providing emergency food, shelter to needy individuals. It was updated in 87. And it was called the Homeless Assistance Act. Well, what's going on now is that in 2019, we had the Emergency Supplemental Act, and it was written exclusively at that time for that situation. But since then, it's taken on a whole nother role. And basically what it's doing is it is continuing appropriations and a new migrant EFSP, Emergency Supplemental Appropriate, protection. So at this point, it is assistance to aliens released from DHS custody to jurisdictions or local recipients, organizations serving communities that have experienced a significant influx of such aliens. So as all of these children and immigrants are being shipped all over the country to New York, Chicago, Detroit, LA, you know, wherever they're going right now under this 1987 act, that's really meant for the homeless. This was a homeless act, American Citizen Homeless Relief Act passed by Reagan. They've now changed this to be for migrants and illegal immigrants. And this covers HUD. So this is the Department of Housing and Urban Development that has now taken it. And they are allocating money to them to house $125 million and then $130 million have already been sent out under the America Rescue Plan, H.R. 1319, signed into law 2021. It appropriates $400 million for FEMA specials for this group, immigrant emergency supplemental appropriation for the illegal immigrants. And it's giving them services and wraparound services, including food, shelter, long distance transportation. So if you're wondering how these flights are being paid for, mm-hmm. You're paying for them. On top of that, which is the same thing. So they're using an act. This is what they're doing, the Biden administration, with a lot of stuff that was supposed to be to benefit American citizens, in this case, homeless, from the 80s. To now, they've changed the language and updated it like they always do in 2021 and now 2022 to make it about illegal immigrants. Therefore, the original act is scrapped, which means that the appropriations and everything for the homeless is erased and it is replaced by illegals.
It's interesting to hear some of the comments coming out of the, I think it's the DC mayor over the weekend. Really frustrated at the number of illegal immigrants in Washington, D.C. They're blaming this on Republicans. They said the states of Texas and Arizona have turned Washington into a border state. I'm like, yeah.
What about the Biden administration?
The lack of self-awareness is really
But phenomenal. The problem with Bowser is she's married to what's her name? Donna Brazile. Okay. Mm-hmm. Donna Brazile was in the Clinton White House. This woman knows exactly what's going on. She doesn't want them in D.C. The people in D.C. don't want them in D.C. These are globalists who already don't care about we the people. Look at what they're doing with the justice and everything else. Yep. She knows exactly what she's doing. Her wife has been in government since the beginning of the Clintons to this day. So this is her saying, you know, we're happy to be a sanctuary city until it actually is real. And once it's real, they don't want them there. And, you know, we need to know that 8,000 to 9,000 people coming across that border are being, this isn't what's happening from Texas is this is the governor of Texas saying, you know what, we're not a sanctuary state or a sanctuary city. we're sending them to sanctuary cities where you can deal with it because you allocated that this would be mm-hmm. part of your yep. budget. Right. They have in their budget that they are a sanctuary city. This is that's the point.
They campaign on that. They're proud of that. Right. They put that forward until it's time to do it.
Pay the piper.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, I love doing this and this and this, and then it's like, oh,
wait a second, you're actually going to call me on it?
Yeah, I'm only on every other Thursday, and this is one of them. You know, it's until the time to do it.
Right, and I'm telling you, they're saying about 9,000 a day are being bussed all over. This is not what is happening in Texas. I'm talking about from U.S. Border Patrol. All over this country. And again, we are paying for it. But a lot of this money that they're getting is from money that they took away from things that were allocated for the United States citizens that are actually homeless. For the people that the vets, they're taking the money away from the vets. They're taking the money away from
a lot of homeless veterans.
Everything. They just ended this. You know, Trump had a thing that if you had to be go right onto welfare to come across the country, you would be, you know, that you would be denied. Well, what happened this week? Joe Biden and Mayorkas removed the regulation. And now if you need to be like Donald Trump, when he came in, he said he would deny residency and green cards to migrants, which legal or illegal. That would have to become a public charge once crossing into the United States, which means they'd go right on to welfare and benefits. Well, Joe Biden just reversed that. So now Joe Biden has reversed the regulation, and he says that it's bipartisan. But I do want to review before we go away who the bipartisan Republicans are so that people understand. These people vote again and again for the progressive Democrats, which are communist, socialist, globalists. We've been taken over by a global entity. If anyone isn't clear on it, it's getting more and more clear every day that the demise of America is the goal from the inside mm-hmm. out. But so Donald Trump had which I thought made a lot of sense. If you need to come to this country and you're coming here to go on our welfare system from the get-go, that you shouldn't be coming here because, you know, that money is supposed to be for American citizens that need help. Mm-hmm. And so they've changed it all. And they also, not just in the homeless services, have they put illegals ahead of homeless, American homeless and vets. Now they regulation favors foreigners, basically, over Americans. And it is looking also to import workers, consumers and renters, regardless of economic impact on Americans. He says, Mayorkas, this action ensures fair and humane treatment of illegal immigrants and their U.S. citizen family members. We will not penalize individuals for crossing the border, choosing to access health care benefits and other supplemental government benefits available to them. He says that, and this is for illegal and legal. And they keep it, they switch the language to say that it's primarily for people that are coming here legally, but that's not what the legislation says. It basically says anyone that's coming will not be denied access to benefits regardless. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Trump tried to stop that train of people coming here just for a free ride. But what else is happening? Rents in America are spiking. Why? Because the government is giving all this money to these illegal immigrants that are coming in. So as I told you, they have a work program. So right as they come across, Mayorkas and Biden put in something that these people go to the top of the list for work, including federal jobs. And then two, they go to the top of the list now, as we see, other than homeless, for the homeless benefits. But on top of that, they're getting money, then they're renting. So right now we have a situation where the U.S. government with taxpayer dollars are giving money to now 5 million illegals that came across the border that then go rent in communities all over the country, and that rent is making the amount of rentals available in our country go down. So right now we're seeing record high rents, and it's starting to reflect around that what they're doing here is driving up rents and inflating prices all across America because of the subsidies that are going into this. And the average American citizen is being shafted for apartments for illegals that we are paying for.
Yeah, this is exceptionally personal right now for two reasons. One, we just did work this morning on our quarterly estimates. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't mind paying your taxes. You feel like it's actually going to go towards people. But when they're actually taking what you pay in and then stealing from that fund that should be going to Americans and paying it to people that came across illegally. And the second thing is, been to Mexico twice in the last month. Mm-hmm. You know, we spoke with a lot of people there that, I mean, have college education, are contributors that are like, you know, high performers there, that are struggling even getting a, like a visa for visitation to come to America.
Right.
They're so far back in the queue right now that if you wanted to come across legally, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Totally.
For
an appointment to do it, like it's a year out just to have an appointment.
Like they laugh at the idea. Like, oh, and then number two, you have to get a vaccine for sure to come even visit in America. Even if you're going to if you live there and you're just going to come across and go shopping or something.
In McAllen, Texas or something.
Yeah. To go shopping in McAllen, Texas, you have to have the COVID vaccine. This is another way to make sure they keep those sales up. So all these things kind of work mm-hmm. hand in hand all the way around. And the, you know, it's like a circle. Everybody's scratching each other's back all the way around in a big circle.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And the worst part is because now we've discussed that they're giving them all these benefits that are allocated really for the homeless and the vets. They're giving them all these, they're prioritizing them for low wage and federal jobs. They're now allowing illegal immigrants to get jobs. And remember, they used to be E-Verify, and that was how they were going to fight illegal immigration. No. And like you're saying, legal immigrants, they're making it harder for. That is a fact.
Almost impossible.
Yeah. But if you come across that way, you don't need your vaccine and you get all these benefits and it's going through NGOs, a lot of them funded by Soros, but also the Catholic Church, many others. But the NGOs and the non-for-profits are getting this money. It's not going directly to the people. It is going to contractors. On top of that, Martha Fudge, the new HUD secretary, has gotten $5 billion in vouchers to house homeless individuals over the next 3-year period. Guess who's being prioritized? Illegal immigrants are being prioritized. She says that there's no difference between U.S. citizens and illegal immigrants when it comes to fair and equitable housing in America. So these housing vouchers and all of that. And listen, are the homeless people in America aligned with NGOs that have government contracts? No, it's the illegals coming across the border that do. So not only do they come across the border illegally and then get farmed from DHS and from the Biden administration to NGOs that are the middlemen that then place them. But those are the people that also have all the information and the ties and everything to get them all these, the apartments and the benefits and this. The average U.S. citizen that is either living in poverty or homeless doesn't have any advocates. So it's the advocates and the amount of money we're spending on the advocates and the contractors that are actually getting preferential treatment for the people that they care for rather than the American citizens on the street right now. And another
interesting thing on the illegals come across on the vaccine shot, it is considered against their civil rights to force them to take something that they don't want to take. But if you come across legally, you have no option. It's upside down world. And then at the same time, defunding the police in these sanctuary cities, it's orchestrated and intentional mass chaos that they're creating.
That is exactly what it is. The order out of chaos. They're trying, and they want us to have a civil war. And I believe that, of what they're saying here also, that as we know now, the all of the Afghans that he brought in that have been released within our country, and many of them are on the terror watch list, 66 at least that they already found already are on the terror watch list. But there's many that they did not find or look at. But now we have actual evidence and an admission that they did not vet anyone that came in from Afghanistan.
No.
So... and those people, again, are taken care of by these NGOs and these charitable foundations that have contracts with DHS and with the Biden administration. They're all friends, by the way, at the top. If you look at who's funding this stuff, all the same people, the globalists that want to destroy America. But then these same people that came in from Afghanistan are going to these NGOs. The NGOs have the contacts for the housing, for the food SNAP benefits, for the medical, for the transportation. So it's the NGOs that are the contractor middlemen, just like we've met contractors for the military. These are the contractors for the illegals that the American citizens do not have. So it's like they're skipping the U.S. citizens on every level on an industrial scale. a very purposeful scale, because, you know, now we also saw they took in, though I haven't seen it yet, a bunch of Ukrainians, they said, refugees, also being sent to NGOs that have contracts with the government that we are paying for, that come out of the Biden administration, that are then placing them. So when you look at the equity, all of the bills he passed about diversity, equity, inclusion, and then you look at all of these NGOs and charities involved, mm-hmm. and you look at their websites, you're going to see that that's how they're functioning too. So they can kind of pick and choose, and they are prioritizing the illegal, they're calling them refugees. If you're not coming from a war-torn country, really, Ukrainians right now are coming from a war-torn country, or there's a lot of other wars, Syria, Yemen, whatever. But a lot of the people that are coming, like I said before, are not coming from war-torn areas. They're coming for this. Mm-hmm. And they're capable, able-bodied people that are coming in, and they're going right from the border to NGOs that have contracts to place them all over the country and be totally wraparound cared for, totally flooding our welfare system. And there are American people. This is why the number of homeless or, you know, shelter living or government housing is so high, is because these people don't have a pipeline to, you know, a life in America. Mm-hmm. They're out there on their own. You know, the big in Portland, we've seen in LA and other places, yeah. their big thing is giving out tents.
Yep.
You know, but I think there's something else to this. So I just want to be clear. I think that the process has gone so fast. There was a lawsuit filed this week last week in New York by four African American women saying that there's lawsuits all over the country actually saying that because the African American community is only 13% of America, and that is a fact, and people should wonder why that is, because it's a bigger problem than people think, and it's government as well. That the influx of illegal immigrants that are now have gotten either so some of these places, especially the blue states, you can get a license. Your license, you automatically register for voting. A lot of these people are coming across with no data, so they're registering as citizens when they get their license. On top of that, a lot of places, including California and New York, which have huge voting blocks, are allowing illegals to vote in the next election. And what it seems to me is going on. So these women said, since the Black community is 13% of Americans, and there's been such an influx of illegals into the country that are going to be able to vote, that the Black vote is being damaged by the Black majority of vote is being damaged by the illegal vote, because that it's a problem. So this is also, there's a lawsuit also in California about them allowing illegals to vote in the next election. But what I do need to say about all of this, to put it all together, is that, so we talked about once before that Joe Biden has what they've done, and they're not really releasing it. So I think we talked about once that months ago, the Biden administration put out, you know, and it's Susan Rice is running a domestic policy, if people don't know. But the Biden administration put out an executive order 14019, mm-hmm. Promoting voting rights, of course, you know. But anyway, it's about making voting easier. And they put out a call pretending that the Republicans have anything to do with voter suppression or rolling back voting access. No, we just like clean voter rolls and a transparent, honest election. Whoever wins, wins. But let's just do it fair is the question, yep. is what we're
which is
for.
Which is very oppressive. Yeah. To the Democratic agenda.
And then when they just had the election in Georgia, you know, where they were crying Jim Crow and all that, the turnout was like massive and that nothing changed. So it just totally blew it apart. But under all of the executive orders, one of them is in all of government, which is everything they do. Executive Order 14019 initiative, Biden ordered all federal agencies to be involved to increase voter registration among groups that have been historically been part of the Democratic coalition. So Black voters and other voters of color face discriminatory policies and other obstacles that disproportionately affect their communities. These voters remain more likely to face long lines somehow at the polls and are disproportionately burdened by voter identification laws and limited opportunity to vote by mail. We know vote by mail is the easiest way to cheat, and sure. the U.S. And the Postal Service will be implicated, I assure you, at some point. But we really need to push for no mail-in voting, only absentee ballot with a reason and with verification of your identity prior. Mm-hmm. That's always been what it is in every country. People can show up. All we need, okay, if they have a big problem with this, let's just have more voting stations. Yeah. Okay, if there's a real problem with people getting to the polls, which there isn't, and it was proven in Georgia. But what I do want to say is that I think this is connected to what's going through at the border. And really because I'm seeing the connection between these NGOs and these government contractors that they're hiring to handle the influx of immigration, of immigrants, illegals coming across the border. These same groups are connected by way of all the different left-wing, open society, you know, all of the different branches of all of these Tides Foundation. They're all the same groups, okay? So what this executive order says is that by March 2021, with a month in which the Georgia legislature, controlled by Republicans, was debating new voting laws, Biden and other Democrats were, remember, going crazy, saying that there was Jim Crow 2.0, yep. and people weren't going to be able to vote. And the goal was really to pass two bills that were at the top of the Democrats right when they got into office, if you recall, Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. Basically, they wanted to federalize voting. It was also called, I think, H.R. 1. Both of these bills would have nationalized elections, making votes and voting, counting and oversight a federal government, taking the right away from the states. And obviously very good for the Democratic Party. Fortunately, these did not pass. So what happened after that was it appears Susan Rice and the rest of the people in the O'Biden regime got together and they put out this executive order, which has a whole bunch of stuff in it about equality, equity, and, you know, suppression and holding people down. And, you know, that the integrity, voting integrity movement is really an oppressive movement against marginalized folks. But if you really look at it, what it really is doing is having federal agencies, including HHS, DHS, unemployment, all of the SNAP benefits offices, Health and Human Services, all the offices that deal with basically illegal immigrants, take on the PR of the upcoming elections. So it's a strategic plan outlining the ways identified under the review that the agency can promote voter registration and voter participation of all citizens. Does not mean American citizens. If you keep reading, it means anyone that wants to vote, helping facilitate them. And this is the first time ever that it's going through every federal agency, pretty much. So in a Freedom of Information Act request that was put in, any document that was given out from this meeting that happened was totally redacted. Mm. So why are you redacting documents about voter outreach? I don't understand what the plan would be. So there's been more FOIA requests went in up till recently. Please provide your agency's strategic plan developed pursuant to President Biden's Executive Order 14019, outlining ways in which you identify for your agency to promote voter registration and voter participation. And now, September 8th, 2022, the Justice Department waited till just now, last week, and to turn over a batch of emails, which are really just going back and forth between staffers of all the different agencies, all with heads, Democrats and others. And mostly what they turned over was nothing to do with the Susan Rice-led strategic plan for voting. What really is there is they said that there was a problem. They used something called Exemption 5, which anyone that's filed a FOIA request knows is something that they use to not give you the information. They say that,
of course.
That they need an exemption because there's ongoing litigation or problems, or it's a work in progress, or it's not time to give it in. the division has identified 15 pages, that's it, of material representing the strategic plan implementation of 14019 promoting access to voting. And all other materials have to be redacted. So what came out was a whole bunch of redacted documents just last week, right above here. So what's the strategic plan that they came up with all way back when that is being implemented?
Right.
Thousands of documents with nothing to see.
That seems to be the trend, yep. Whether it's Mar-a-Lago raid or, you know, whatever else. There was like, there was about 87,000 memes of, you know, documents with just, you know, redacted lines on there, where everything from like Hunter Biden snorting them up to Joe Biden tripping on them, trying to walk upstairs, you know, it's so ridiculous. It became a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lack of transparency.
And what we do know is that they had meetings in March, in April, two in April, two in May, three in May, one in July, that because they gave only 15 documents. But all of these things, like, they've been doing this strategy. So something is going on. They're using the power of the federal government for partisan purposes, meaning the DNC and the progressive Democrats that are controlled by the Great Reset globalists. And they are going into every federal agency and turning them into basically election agencies, mm-hmm. where it totally violates the Constitution as it is. But what it is doing is it's taking away any pretense of fair and nonpartisan. This is being run by Susan Rice and others. And what they're doing is they're ignoring public records requests, and they're acting like the strategic plan for this EO voter has been, you know, done in secrecy, and that it's none of the business of the American people. The Republicans aren't even trying to get it. And journalists. So now we have the midterms approaching. The DOJ refuses to turn over what their plan is. They pull in Podesta. They have thousands of illegal immigrants coming into the country, but going through NGOs and agencies controlled by Democrats, mainly Democrat billionaires, that end up getting jobs and housing and registering to vote is basically the truth. And was once they have jobs and housing and they live somewhere, some cities and states only for 30 days and you can vote. And at this point, the only documents that we really have to show who's involved here is on July 12th, 2021, the Justice Department held a listening session about this voting rights situation. And from the information that was released, the groups there were the American Civil Liberties Union, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Black Lives Matter, La Raza, Campaign Legal Center, DEMOS, Leadership Conference of Civil Rights, and several immigration groups. So when I look at all this information, what I think is that the rush to get all these illegals in, since he got that, is because they didn't get to pass the voting bills. Mm-hmm. And what we're about to see is them go through that. They have all these people that got all these services from the government, all these illegal immigrants, have also been systematically, month after month, every time they pick up, they get their check or their card or whatever, which it should be illegal, and I believe is. In there, there's information about voting, about why you vote, about how you vote, where you vote. So all the agencies that are providing services are also being used right now to be voter, get out to vote service groups. So, you know, this is what I'm saying. We need more. There's like 2,000, I think, vacancies at polling stations around the country. We also need voter rolls cleaned up. We cannot have illegals voting in America, because then every citizen that votes, their one illegal vote takes away one American citizen's vote. You have to think of it that way. But what they are doing is they are using the same billionaire, trillionaire, left-wing, massive network to now indoctrinate illegal immigrants, most of them that don't even know what's going on, to give them votes for them as part of an exchange. It's like a quid pro quo situation for votes. And this is why I can't stress enough how right now you have to get involved. It doesn't matter if you're just one person. If we have 10,000 people call every county clerk, every secretary of state, every, you know, election board, listen, the voter rolls are key, because if we can clean out those voter rolls, A, that's one thing. If they are allowing illegals to vote in your district, in your county, in your state, you need to find a lawyer that's willing to sue, because these four women in New York are suing, and they have a good chance of getting it overturned. I know for New York City, they got it over. Some people sued and got it overturned for the New York City mayoral elections and all of that. But the plan here is to have American citizens' votes invalidated by illegal votes. And there's just too many overlaps of money and NGOs to deny that this is what's going on. And the fact that they, when asked with FOIA requests multiple times for their strategic voting plan, that that was in an original executive order. This was early in the game. So they've been working on this for well over a year, and nobody seems to be able to know what the plan is. So I think the American people have to start realizing it's executive order, if you want to look it up, 14019. And what it really does appear is that there is a situation going on where our next election is already being usurped by this. And we, the people, have about 3 months. And it doesn't matter if you're left, right, center, illegal. Nope. I mean, not illegal, independent. If you love your country in any way and you think your vote matters, you should feel that way about your neighbor. You should feel that everyone in America, being a citizen, paying taxes, living, you know, our lives, you know, trying to do the best we can. The one thing we do have is our vote. And what this looks like, I know it's been, because people keep wondering, like, why is our border wide open? You know, we've had enough fentanyl to kill millions of people. The violence is out of control. We see these crazy murders in broad daylight every day. Find out that it's an illegal or somebody that's been in jail, or belongs still in jail. Yep. And the chaos, but I'm not sure if everyone's connecting it to the voting.
That's really huge.
It has become
such great information.
Has come down where it's the American people against this government. And it's a government made up of like you said, a uniparty of, you know, Kamala and Joe and them, but in a combination with Lindsey Graham and the Liz Cheney's and the people like that allow that to happen and take place. Mm-hmm. And the second thing that has to happen is the African American community has got to wake up and realize they've been played. They have become the stepkids of the Democratic Party.
Yep.
They're no longer the chosen group of favor. And they need to like, wow, you know what? We were lied to. We were misled to get them into position. We were played by BLM. We were just a few people became super wealthy and rich. Their donations funded the Democratic elections, and they need to wake up and say, hey, you know what? I need to save this country if I'm going to have the ability to prosper and thrive in it and vote accordingly.
That's exactly right.
Right. Well,
this was such a great show. So,
what's going on? Yeah, I just want you guys to know that what's going on is the flow of this illegal workers and then like visa workers and that. It's coming at the round of like two illegals per one American citizen. That's coming, you know. So we're getting to a place where a lot of funds are being redirected that are meant for us in all of our agencies, especially for the social services, and are getting redirected to illegals on purpose. And like you said before, I just wanted to say the people that keep voting for this, if you are in the world where these people are, and notice there's a lot of help wanted signs around.
Yep.
And back in the day, that would be where a lot of people would be going. But there's a reason people aren't working. They want universal basic income, which is what they're giving these people, basically, to be honestly conduits of this tyrannical government. So but the people that continue to vote for all of this, so you know, that claim to be Republicans and have voted again and again. I just want people to know, Lindsey Graham, Roy Blunt, Lisa Murkowski, obviously Kinzinger is out, thank God, Marionette Miller Meeks, Fred Upton, Peter Maher, Brian Fitzpatrick, Jennifer Gonzalez Collin, John Curtis. So these people keep voting for everything for the illegal immigrants.
Do you have was there an image for that, Mel, that shows the list of those? Is there a way that we
no,
can,
but I can send it to you. I'll
we need,
it.
We yeah. need to get that.
We'll
visible.
Put it in the text group so that everybody yeah, has so it. These, you can send it to us.
Yeah, these rhinos have continued to vote for everything for the illegal immigrants over and over.
And you notice a lot of those, like what you said, Roy Blunt from here in Missouri, a lot of these guys, Kissinger, you know, it's on their way out.
Yep.
They're just working on little parachutes for themselves when they leave office because they've milked the bureaucracy as much as they can. Now they'll have a book deal or a spot on MSNBC or one of those things. They do that on their last little window on their way out and give the finger to the office that they held and then create a parachute for themselves to land on when they walk out.
Always a part
Lindsey
of it.
Graham, if he put, man, I tell you what, that guy, he makes me sick just to look at him.
Surprised Mitch McConnell wasn't on there.
Yeah, no, these are the people that keep voting for giving all of our rights and our money to the illegals. Yeah. And, we've done so many shows on it, and we have to keep in mind, these non-government organizations, especially connected to Soros, Tides, Arabella, New Venture Fund, Carnegie Foundation, all this, the American people have to start really realizing these NGOs and then all these ACLU, ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center. What is their goal?
Right. Great question.
You know, they're supposed to be, the reason they get all these benefits and get away with so much and don't pay taxes is because they're supposed to be humanitarian organizations. For which people?
Right. Great question.
For the people that control the money? Or for we the people? Because something's wrong. A lot of this stuff that's happening with immigration are the same NGOs that back all of the LGBTQ plus stuff and all of the BLM stuff and the Marxist stuff. It's the same people. Mm-hmm. People have to wake up. These are the same billionaires and trillionaires funding all of this stuff across the border. So everyone get in touch with your just push that they have to clean the voter rolls. If they're allowing illegals to vote in your community, you find a good lawyer that's willing to just file a lawsuit for you. An individual can do this. We need to start fighting like they fight. They use lawfare. I don't know if you guys saw, we did a whole show on the 65 Project. Yep. They're going after everyone right now. And they're bankrupting like good lawyers that just ask questions. You know, risk it. Go out there and lawyers, please start getting involved. Citizens, get involved. And I agree with you. The black community is being totally used, abused, and they are being replaced in terms of their voice, especially in voting. And they're acting like all this stuff is for them. And it's not.
So true. Okay, go to themelkshow.com. Make sure you register for their newsletter. Check out the resources. You can also text 40509 for all the graphic images today. Mel, thank you so much. Cannot wait to see you in a couple of days.
Yep, we'll see you.
We're gonna have so much fun.
Coeur d'Alene, the Idaho-Washington border, will be there this weekend. And then coming up next will be Pennsylvania. Whoop, whoop. Now, that's going to be a huge event. Huge. You saw the turnout that Trump had for his event there, you know, recently. And, you know, Biden had about, I don't know, 150 people at a middle school gym and was speaking angry about him, about, if you don't have an F-15, you can't even compete with me because I will crush you. You know, Trump filled a basketball arena of people chanting USA and listening to Lee Greenwood is a different kind of authentic energy that people are going to show up to vote. But like you said, we got to be at the polls. We got to be there watching. We need to be involved in that. I love the America Project and what they're doing. Everybody needs to give one big push here in November and see what kind of a difference we can make.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And if you need help, go to the precinct strategy. They have all the ways you can get involved in every county in the country. That one last mission at the America Project, they have for everyone. They're really, really recruiting because also because there's a lot of the same NGOs with the immigrants are doing things for the Poles. They intimidate people and all that. But retired law enforcement, retired vets, retired firefighters, these are people that can't be intimidated and know how to like diffuse a situation. Because I believe that I saw that there's a whole bunch of groups that are on the other side that are going to cause problems. What we need are people that know how to diffuse situations so they can't, make so much chaos that entire polling center has to shut down. You know, we're dealing with desperate times for these people. So, please get out there and start. Yep. It doesn't matter if you're one person. You get the phone number, you make the calls, you get the email, you do all of that. Mm-hmm. And please make sure and look into and research, are illegal immigrants allowed to vote where you are? What are the rules? And please look into that. And if there's lawyers out there, please start, just go be a patriot warrior and get on the front lines. If we don't stop them the way they fight lawfare, unfortunately, we're going to have to fight lawfare too. True. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Mel. See you soon.
One of my favorite songs of all time right there. Yep. Is the introduction to a guy that has not one, but two PhDs, Dr. Kirk Elliott.
Yay! Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. I like watching David play the air guitar. That's quite funny.
I mastered the air guitar.
You did.
I grew up in an era that had long hair.
Yep.
Big, loud music bands, you know, mixed. A lot of different genres of music.
True.
That sounded differently. You know, the... We used to turn on the radio. There wasn't many different varieties and subsects. When you turned on the radio, for one, you had to listen to the song because that was your option right
now. That was it.
And, you know, when you bought a car back then, they'd advertise AM, FM radio, blows cold air, electric windows. You know, some of these features that people take for granted today. But you had to listen to the songs. But they, you know, there would be one that would be kind of like a rap song. You'd have, you know, MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice you know, something like that. Then you'd have the next one could be like, you know, Def Leppard. The next song might be like AC/DC, or it might be Whitney Houston. Like there was a variety. Everybody was forced to listen to a broad range of stuff back in the day.
Man, that's true.
And now there's little echo chambers of music where all you hear is like, you know, Michael Bublé all day or whatever your thing is. And we're not better for it. I'll just say that.
Well, there you go.
This is all bonus material.
That's all bonus.
That is not
a part of the economic
update. It's not a part of the economic update, but it lets you know kind of where we're coming from and what I'm dealing with up here on a daily basis.
Well, you're laser focused on what you have to listen to. I mean, we have two lasers here in our office. It's usually worship music or country music. I got to admit, there's not much else happening in this office.
But, that's how I am now, too.
Once Garth Brooks came on the scene, he kind of won us.
Yeah, Garth Brooks, we kind of went over that. And then worship music. That is what we have going on in our house, too, all the time.
Nonstop.
Like, nonstop. Like, that's the deal.
6 to 8 hours a day in the office. That's what's on.
Bring it in, Jesus.
Yeah, that is important. And I'd love to transition into some economic update stuff here a little
bit. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. we got a guy with two PhDs.
You do have two PhDs and one in theology.
And one of them in theology. That's good. He's got the worship one in that canoe as well. But your understanding of what's happening right now, and we've actually been talking about this before the show, with the central banks and what they use for COVID kind of as a cover up for a crash that was coming. You sent us an article. I first heard about this guy. He used to work for BlackRock. He was interviewed by Alex Jones a few months ago, and it was a phenomenal interview. Edward Dowd is his name. He's the guy on the left there. He's obviously not Dr. McCullough.
I remember him being on with
It was an incredible interview, but he brings up some stuff that's like everybody knows it and you can feel it. Everybody's kind of wondering, like, how can the economy be doing what it's doing, but everything's still kind of going along okay? And he, you know, being a BlackRock advisor, formerly, he's like, hey, I know why this is going well and what role COVID played in this stuff. And just a fascinating, fascinating read. We'll put a link to this article in the notes below. Mm-hmm. People need to read this because it'll help you understand, like, you know, how come if it's snowing, why is it still hot? You know, it's like this anomaly. It's like snow's falling and I'm hot. Like, this is wrong, you know, and it helps kind of help you bridge that a little bit. It's artificial.
Well, so I did an interview with him on James Grundvig's show like a month ago, and I loved it because the guy's like uber brilliant, right? Yeah. And he made it out alive from working for BlackRock. I say that tongue in cheek. It's like his life wasn't in danger, but he didn't get brainwashed by them. Right? He saw that that way wasn't the right way, right? Mm-hmm. And he started thinking like us. And so what I loved about him is like, okay, this guy's brilliant, uber smart, math genius, right? And he's agreeing with me and I'm agreeing with him. It's like, this makes me feel kind of good that he says we're on the same path. But here in this article, I mean, math wizard is what this guy is. He said, okay, a global financial collapse is a mathematical certainty. Right. And what's the time frame that he came up with? The next 6 to 24 months. So he's just looking at the math. He's looking at revenues, he's looking at expenses, he's looking at everything that's happening politically, geopolitically, supply chain disruptions. I mean, all of that. And he's saying, yeah, we will have a global financial collapse. And just like what when we talked to Bo Polny a couple of weeks ago, talking about the difference between a crash and a collapse, a collapse is bigger, it's broader, it has cleanup, and then you have to rebuild after it, right? This is what he's actually talking about as well. It's a complete system change that's actually going to be coming. So I would encourage people to read that article, but basically it's a mathematical certainty, not just a probability, but a certainty that there will be a global financial collapse in the next 6 to 24 months. You know, so you've got also issues with excess mortality among working age adults during the fourth quarter of 2021. This is all because of the vaccination. You guys have covered that quite often on your show, right? But you've got demographic changes. You've got an aging population, which is going to be more of a draw on government money and on taxpayer dollars, because there's fewer people paying into the system, more people exiting that are now going to get Social Security benefits and everything else, right? I mean, what did we just describe? We just described a Ponzi scheme, right? Mm-hmm. Where there's very few people paying into the system, but a lot of people getting benefits at the top. Somebody ultimately is going to get kept, you know, holding the bag. They're not going to get what they thought they were going to get. That's the definition of a Ponzi scheme, but that's where we are with our entitlement system, with welfare. This is what caused the Roman Republic to collapse. It collapsed because one third of the population was on entitlements at the time, you know, getting some kind of benefit from the government. Well, here in America, that's now over 80%. Mm-hmm. The Roman Republic fell when one third of Rome was getting assistance from the government. We're now at over 80%. I mean, this is talking about the end of an empire kind of numbers. And this is what Dowd is talking about.
No big mystery why those happen. You know, in the past, everywhere, that's the Romans or every, you know, the UK, all of them. When you want to go to war, you want to expand, you want to increase your territory, you can tax the people you currently have to get the money, because you got to pay the soldiers. They're not mercenaries. You got, you know, they're not just like volunteers. You got to pay the soldiers. You got to feed the soldiers. You got to transport the soldiers. It takes fuel, gas, everything else. Depending on what area you're in, obviously, but you can tax the people you got. And if you don't want to do that and have them disgruntled and overthrow you, then you make more coins. We're doing both at the same time. We're leaving $80 billion with stuff in Afghan. It seemed like every other week we're shipped a few billion dollars to the Ukraine, as well as every other nation. Ukraine's receiving more outside funding than their previous GDP was before this happened. I don't know if eventually, is there a spreadsheet or an accounting on how this all went? But we're doing both of those things at the same time. We're taxing the people heavily in ways that we've never thought possible before, unique kind of taxes, even the student loan payback thing, they're charging tax on that. So it's not quite the escape people thought. It's kind of this clunky deal. And at the same time, printing money at an unprecedented way. It's like, that's why I say when people look around, like, how come everything's still going so well when it's going so bad? COVID kind of allowed them to run cover in a unique way that sort of helped keep this going a little bit longer and maybe give them a chance to sort of prepare exit strategies in a digital way.
Not working though.
Right. Man, no, it's not working. And so those things, David, are the fundamentals that always cause markets to grow or shrink, right? We now have the fundamentals that are causing shrinkage. You add to that different things that come up from time to time, like war and geopolitical conflict, right? So earlier this week, you know, the stock market was down like almost like 900 points on Tuesday because Azerbaijan, you know, missiles flying, the Russia-Ukraine conflict. So all those things added to the strong fundamentals of negative growth that we already have. It's like, oh my word, we are in for a world of hurt. And then, so there's another headline that you start to use the same words that Bo and I and you and all we all used, right? Collapse, right? So Dowd talks about collapse. Well, there's an article from Ron Paul, former congressman, where he talks about the U.S. economy's collapse is what his exact word will come. And he said liquidation is absolutely necessary. So what does he mean by liquidation? He means that the toxic assets are going to have to be sold off. Liquidation of the debt, which just means collapse, right? It just means the stock market's going to have to come down. It was propped up with debt. It's propped up with stimulus money. And when he's talking about liquidation, this is what he's talking about is all of this debt that kept the stock market afloat, that kept the real estate market afloat. It just needs to kind of go away. We have to stop, you know, putting good money into a bad thing, right? Because mm-hmm. then that turns all money bad, right? So,
yep.
So this is what's happening. It's like toxic. It's like the whole world's financial system has COVID, right? You enter the same room with bad money, and it's going to turn the good money bad, and that's exactly what's happened. So here though, I want to drive it down to a couple things here, just domestically on what's the root cause of some of this, other than printing money without discretion. And David, you had shared with me earlier in the week a couple of charts that were absolutely astounding. And it's like, oh my word, we have to share this. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk about
read these. This is a guy that we follow. He's in the tech world. He's a business entrepreneur, and he kind of runs in and out of some circles with some highly informed people. Some of the biggest movers and shakers, domestically and internationally as well. But he showed this chart here. Here's what he said above it. And just in case anyone missed it, incomes are not dropping. Household incomes are not dropping. What's going down? Post-inflation, post-tax household income is what's crashing. Mm. That's what's dropping. And it's like it's the value of an asset against your currency, because they're increasing the amount of currency while not increasing or affecting the amount of assets behind it. And so that's what's happened. Those people are like, man, I feel like I'm making more than ever. We're not getting ahead. We're not getting ahead. Well, the stock market is, typically people are like, hey, you can get to 10% on the stock market. Mm-hmm. Well, inflation's been at 10% for the past decade. And so it's like, it's not real generated revenue in there. It's simply a reflection of created dollars pumped into an artificial system. He has a second post here. He said, credit card debt is at an all-time high and still growing. But personally, and as a government, credit card debt in the United States just hit a new all-time high of $1.103 trillion. Wow. Looks like consumers are borrowing even more to keep up with the rapid price increases due to inflation.
Question mark.
Yep. Lots of people maxing out their credit cards before the crash. He says, ugly ahead. Ugly's coming. So we look at these charts here. You'll probably have a better grasp on that, than we do, but it helps kind of understand people are like their incomes are like, man, we got both of us working, things are happening. We got more money coming in, but it's just what you can do with it that's gone down. And so they're financing the difference, financing that gap of, which comes out to roughly about $800 a month per household, compared to January of 21, ironically.
Wow.
Well, yeah. So that first chart, the real disposable income, it's negative. It's gone negative, right? Which means after taxes, what do people have left to actually, do stuff with, right? Well, they don't have much of anything when you have the cost of everything that's going up, that's inflation, right? This is why they're talking about post-inflation, post-tax household income. We are now negative. So the inflationary pressures, the higher tax, everything that Biden's economy is creating is causing people to actually lose money every single month, even though they're still working. So therefore, because they're losing money, they can't actually really function as a family. Mm-hmm. This is where you see that second chart, credit card debt hit over a $1.1 trillion. That's a lot of stinking credit card debt, right?
It is.
And in credit cards, their payments are not static, right? It's not like it's a fixed rate mortgage. It's variable. So every single month, as rates continue to go up, your credit card cost of debt is going to go up. And so having that much debt in a rising interest rate environment is the kiss of death to the economy, which is why Ron Paul is saying what he's saying, which is why Dowd is saying what he's saying, which is why we've been saying what we've been saying for a year. It's like, okay, number one, get out of debt if you can. Number two, get out of these toxic assets that are coming down because they're based on debt, like the stock and bond and real estate markets, right? Go into something like gold and silver that's absolutely thriving, absolutely thriving right now. I mean, we talked about this earlier in the week, but really silver's up well over 12% over the last week. On Monday of this week, it was up 5% in one day. See, because we've been talking about in any bull market, you'll have two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. And people call me all the time. Everybody from Flyover Nation, they call and say, Kirk, you keep saying silver's going to go up and it's been going down. It's like, yeah, but it was up prior to that, right? So we are, it's our human nature. It's not anybody's fault. We tend to see the negative a lot of times. It's like, oh, I went in and I hear comments. It's like, well, whenever I invest, I ring the bell and it's always going to go down afterwards. Okay, don't say that because it's not true. But right. But what happens is you'll have a pullback. And then what happens? Then you have two steps forward and you'll have another pullback. It always happens. Nothing goes straight up. Nothing goes straight down. But the next pullback is going to be higher than this one. Then the pullback after that's going to be higher than that one, right? So so take advantage of these pullback in prices when it's the right asset to be in, like gold and silver is the absolute right assets to be in. And when you get times like this, when it pulled back, should have gobbled up as much as you possibly can, right? Because, oh my word, I mean, 12% in 1 week, that's insane. That kind of growth, it's wild. But you're going to see traction times like that as this market progresses and moves forward. And just stay the course and have faith, knowing that mathematically, logically, now when that couples with faith, you're going to have peace of mind. Yeah. And when you have people that are way smart, like Dowd, you have people that are consummate politicians like Ron Paul that are sharing like those articles that we shared. Mm-hmm. We've got problems ahead. Get out of things that are toxic. Go into stuff that's doing well, and you will have peace of mind. And that's the wisdom and the discernment that we should all have. Like what that group of people in the Old Testament, the sons of Issachar, right? What does the Bible say about them? They understood the times and they knew what to do. Well, that's my prayer for this generation. It's like we're modern day sons and daughters of Issachar who understood the times and knew what to do. And they were protected and they preserved and they grew and they thrived, woo! Right? That's what we want. And that's what we're built and created for. But you have to act to get to that point, right?
Love it.
And that's the goal of the show is to encourage people to take that leap of faith and act and do the right thing and not be paralyzed by fear.
Man, that is great.
Each week we try to have a conversation here that gives people enough to be like, oh, there's actually someone with answers. Because you turn on the news, you turn on these other places, and it's just doom and gloom. And if all you had to do was hope that, you know, your Blockbuster stock's going to make a comeback, you know, you're in trouble. Right. You know, you need something that actually has a floor that's above zero, you know, which is something you can touch. And again, there's a lot of ways to do this, guys. You could buy 2x4s and plywood or nails. You could buy ammo. You could buy, hamburger, you know, as long as you keep it froze, you know, there's a lot of ways to be able to have a thing, but you need money outside of your bank, outside of the stock market, turn your IRAs and things into something that's tangible. Gold and silver is a great way to do that. I just encourage you though, to make sure you have something that has no commission when you sell, something that's not a story, that when you buy it, it's actually, you're buying ounces, not a picture of Elvis or something else, unless you're a collector and that's just what you really wanted, but investment bullion in a way that you actually have something that you can touch, because this will be the tangible currency moving forward.
Yep. So go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information there for a free consultation. Somebody from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you, answer your questions, get you connected, find out exactly what you need. You can also call 720-605-3900. Thank you so much, Dr. Kirk. We really appreciate your time. Are you having a hard time sleeping at night thinking, what are you going to do about your finances?
If you went back to 1920 and you had a $20 bill and you had 1 ounce of gold, you could go into a men's clothing store and you could buy an entire suit, the jacket, shoes, pants, belt, everything. Today, what would that $20 bill buy you? It wouldn't. You couldn't buy a handkerchief for the $20 bill, but that 1 ounce of gold would still buy you, even today, it would buy you an entire men's suit, shoes, belt, pants, jacket, everything. That's the difference. But today, that change is happening faster than ever.
And we know a guy by the name of Dr. Kirk Elliott that we've known for over 25 years. He has two PhDs.
This is who we're actually using. This is who our friends and family are using. And he's a guy we trust completely. And in today's era, you need somebody you trust. So go to flyovergold.com and learn how to protect yourself against an inflating dollar.
For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.